With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. As President Trump continues his pursuit of, quote, better trade deals, some advocates say one so-called win in D.C. could help producers here at home in South Dakota. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
This month, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins posted on X that President Trump had secured a trade win with Taiwan that would be a, quote, game changer for our farmers and ranchers. Taiwan signed a letter of intent to purchase $10 billion in U.S. agricultural products such as soybeans, corn, wheat, and beef. South Dakota Trade President and CEO Jesse Fonkert says that could spell good news for South Dakota.
Those four commodities are ample supply here in South Dakota. And so South Dakota Trade, we are excited to be part of this historic event, part of this historic commitment to be buying U.S. commodities, and of course excited to be part of this letter of intent ceremony that highlights Taiwan's intention to be purchasing U.S. wheat, but especially South Dakota wheat.
Fonker is referring to a letter of intent ceremony at the Capitol Building in Pierre, where a Taiwan trade group signed a letter of intent to purchase South Dakota wheat as part of its $10 billion U.S. investment.
And in the remarks, he talked about the possibility of Taiwan engaging with other commodity groups here in South Dakota.
He says getting Taiwan trade representatives in the state is an important step in continuing to foster and strengthen South Dakota's relationship with the country moving forward.
And so we talk about trade, of course, our number one priority is moving commodities out of South Dakota. But to do that, it's about building relationships and building trust and building mutual respect. And so these goodwill delegations that Taiwan has now led for a number of years also include this cultural component that is so important for their people to understand why they want to be doing business in South Dakota, helping them understand the way that we produce our goods, the way that we grow our commodities, the way we treat our people, but also the landmarks that we get to experience every single day as residents of this great state.
Fonkert says the Taiwan delegation visited Sioux Nation, CHS, farms outside of Wall, and landmarks like the Black Hills and Mount Rushmore. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
18 nursing facilities have closed across South Dakota in less than 10 years. With the announced closure of Corsica's Good Samaritan Society, some lawmakers are wondering what's to come for long-term care in South Dakota. SDPB's CJ Keene checks in.
The closure of the Corsica Good Samaritan Society means the nearest long-term care facility for residents is in Wagner, over a half hour down the road. That facility is another Good Samaritan Society, a subsidiary of Sanford Health. In a statement, Good Samaritan VP of Operations Katie Davis writes, quote, "In Corsica, we're facing workforce shortages that are expected to intensify in the coming years. As a result, we've made the difficult decision to close the Good Samaritan Society Corsica, November 30th, 2025. The full statement can be found online at sdpb.org/news. However, State Representative Eric Muckey isn't convinced by that reasoning. The Sioux Falls Democrat says he believes there is demand for a facility in his hometown of Corsica, and the workforce is there to keep it functional.
This is a decision that has interesting context and potentially anti-competitive actions that are frankly driving this decision to close the facility. And to do this really from my end is a slap in the face.
What Muckey views as anti-competitive action is a non-compete clause for the building once the home closes. That helped motivate Muckey's alliance with Republican Representative Marty Overweg. The pair say they want to tackle anti-competitive business practices in the industry during the upcoming legislative session. Both offer a concession. It is challenging to stay solvent in the long-term care industry in rural settings. However, Overweg says that's not the full picture with Sanford.
They want to be classified as a nonprofit, but as soon as they run into where they can't make a profit, they run and hide. But then when they leave a community like Corsica alone, without a, you know, they're going to be without a facility, then they'll only sell that building with a non-compete, which I think is totally wrong.
Both Overweg and Muckey say they believe there is appetite in the legislative body to make certain reforms to the long-term care business model in South Dakota. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The State Department of Transportation is seeking public input on the new active transportation plan. The plan looks to improve safety on South Dakota highways and improve connectivity across the state. Residents, businesses, local and tribal governments, and community groups are welcome to offer their comments. These meetings are scheduled across the state through early November. The first is October 14th in Aberdeen, then Mitchell on the 15th, before the first leg is wrapped up on the 16th in Sioux Falls. The final two sessions are November 4th and 5th in Rapid City and Pierre, respectively. Additional information can be found online, including an online submission form for those who cannot attend an in-person meeting. The Rapid Transit System, Rapid City's community bus line, is hosting an art contest to display on a new bus. The broad theme is simple, public transportation, and the contest is open to artists of all ages. The outside of a new Rapid Transit bus will feature the winning design by the end of the month. The inside will feature the second and third place designs. Entry information can be found online at the RTS website or by contacting Rapid Transit. Video lottery revenue is up $1.57 million from this point last year. The South Dakota Lottery Commission discussed the numbers and how much revenue the state's projected this fiscal year at its recent meeting. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
The sales for fiscal year 2026 began on July 1st. David Dahl is the sales director for South Dakota Lottery. He says as of right now, projections are looking good.
So looking at our total fiscal year 26 revenue projections with the combination of the video lottery, instant, and lotto sales as of August 31st, the total combination of fiscal year or combined fiscal year 26 revenue projection is $182.15 million versus $179.43 million in fiscal year 25.
While the state's instant sales decreased by $120,000 from fiscal year 2025, other sales are up. The largest percentage increase came in lotto sales that are up 40% from July through August. Dahl says that time frame is important because the uptick in lotto ticket sales is largely driven by a national craze around the $1.8 billion Powerball jackpot. It didn't conclude until September 6th.
These are August 31st numbers, and they don't include that Powerball run of four dates that generated over $4 million for us.
The committee also discussed a $2 million lottery ticket that was won in Mobridge that's still yet to be claimed. By statute, if it's not claimed, it would go towards paying for prizes of future games. Tim Donahue is on the State Lottery Commission. He says they do want the player to claim the prize because it's why they have the games.
We do put out messages on our website, too, because it happens once in a great while, every few years, where someone doesn't claim prize. But we do put messages out there, you know, especially, you know, geared towards that mention that, hey, that's still out there.
They said the player has 180 days from the draw date on August 23rd to claim the winnings. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
The South Dakota State Historic Preservation Office is asking for public input on preservation needs and projects. The process is part of its application for federal funding. The office is part of the South Dakota State Historical Society. It surveys, inventories, and registers historical properties and promotes public awareness on preservation. They're hoping the public can help them apply by answering a few questions like what properties or areas need to be inventoried, what properties should be considered for nomination to the National Register of Historic Places, and what historic properties are at risk or endangered. To share your thoughts, visit history.sdgov. The Custer State Park Buffalo Roundup is a quintessential South Dakota event. Often described as a particularly intense steeplechase, the experience at ground level offers a glimpse into the Wild West's past. Herd manager Chad Kramer says it's unlike any other experience on horseback, but also a challenge to run effectively.
The closure of the Corsica Good Samaritan Society means the nearest long-term care facility for residents is in Wagner, over a half hour down the road. That facility is another Good Samaritan Society, a subsidiary of Sanford Health. In a statement, Good Samaritan VP of Operations Katie Davis writes, quote, "In Corsica, we're facing workforce shortages that are expected to intensify in the coming years. As a result, we've made the difficult decision to close the Good Samaritan Society Corsica, November 30th, 2025. The full statement can be found online at sdpb.org/news. However, State Representative Eric Muckey isn't convinced by that reasoning. The Sioux Falls Democrat says he believes there is demand for a facility in his hometown of Corsica, and the workforce is there to keep it functional.
This is a decision that has interesting context and potentially anti-competitive actions that are frankly driving this decision to close the facility. And to do this really from my end is a slap in the face.
What Mucky views as anti-competitive action is a non-compete clause for the building once the home closes. That helped motivate Mucky's alliance with Republican Representative Marty Overweg. The pair say they want to tackle anti-competitive business practices in the industry during the upcoming legislative session. Both offer a concession. It is challenging to stay solvent in the long-term care industry in rural settings. However, Overweg says that's not the full picture with Sanford.
They want to be classified as a nonprofit, but as soon as they run into where they can't make a profit, they run and hide. But then when they leave a community like Corsica alone, without a, you know, they're going to be without a facility, then they'll only sell that building with a non-compete, which I think is totally wrong.
Both Overweg and Mucky say they believe there is appetite in the legislative body to make certain reforms to the long-term care business model in South Dakota. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rapid City.
You can find the full replay of the 2025 Custer State Park Buffalo Roundup online at sdpb.org or on the SDPB YouTube page. The State Department of Veteran Affairs is hosting a bridge dedication ceremony to honor a South Dakota soldier who died serving the country during the Korean War. U.S. Army Private Leroy Goosen served as a machine gunner. He was killed in 1952 during a barrage of artillery fire. The VA is dedicating the SD Highway 1804 bridge over Okobojo Creek south of Oneida in his honor. A ceremony is scheduled for October 8th at Sully Buttes High School in Oneida. Officials say the dedication is part of the Fallen Heroes Bridge Dedication Program, which aims to create visible, enduring tributes that connect communities to their past. I'm STPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out STPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.